to me on a summer breeze. Keep me warm in your love and then softly leave. And it's me you need to show. How deep is your love? I really need to learn. 'Cause we're living in a world of fools breaking us down when they all should let us be. We belong to you and me. I believe in you. You know the door to my very soul. You're the light in my deepest, darkest hour. You're my savior when I fall. And you may not think that I care for you when you know down inside that I really do. And it's me you need to show. How deep is your love?
Welcome to Speaking of Music, a show by and about musicians. I'm Barry Livingston. Our in-studio guest today is award-winning Canadian vocalist Diana Panton. Diana sings with some of the best musicians in our country, including Order of Canada recipients Don Thompson and Red Schwager. She has also earned 2 Juno Awards and 7 Juno nominations and holds a master's degree in French literature. Diana has just released a new recording titled Soft Winds and Roses, which we will be highlighting on today's show. Diana, thanks so much for joining us
today.
Thanks
for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you back here again.
Yes, my pleasure too. Yeah.
In fact, I'd like to have you here every week.
Oh, wonderful.
We won't run out of stuff to talk about.
I live close by.
That's good. Well, to begin with, I'd really like to delve into your new recording and ask you, how it all evolved, how you came to put it all together and select the song list.
So I've been, for quite some time now, releasing albums in Asia, and they like to add something special for, like, they're still very much into hard copy CDs and collectibles, I think. So they often will put out their own artwork, something a little different from the North American release, and they also like to add in bonus tracks. So I usually let them sort of suggest a few options, and a lot of times those songs were sort of into something a little more recognizable perhaps from their audience, maybe a little more modern. And so these songs started to accumulate from release to release, enough that I had a few that hadn't really been heard in North America, and I think that we were quite happy with musically, that being the trio and myself. And so then I got the idea of why don't we release those in North America? And when I kind of sat down with those, I realized, well, they're all from 1960s forward. So that's something we haven't really done. And I had thought just to sort of tempo-wise fill it out with other standards that we hadn't, you know, approached. But because of the timeline was sort of falling into a bit of a conceptual sort of idea, then I thought, well, this could be interesting, you know. And the interesting thing about it was that those were not necessarily songs that I would have picked. Those ones that were coming out as bonus tracks. And for our trio, I think they were a bit of a challenge, you know, sort of, how's this going to sound? We were always a little bit, you know, there's a bit of trepidation when you take on a modern, like the Bee Gees one, for example, was one that came up, How Deep Is Your Love? And we're like, well, let's try it, you know, and we ran through it the way we do any standard. And we're like, yeah, I think that's going to work, you know. And then when we got the recording, we're like, yeah, I like that, you know. So that was sort of the idea, was to flesh it out with more songs from that time period. And it's definitely a fast forward, because most of the songs that we've tackled previously, usually from 1920 to 1950s largely. So there is a shift in the timeline. And what becomes slightly more challenging is that they become more well-known, I think, to the fabric of people's lives. So then you wonder a little bit more, how are they going to react when they hear this? I mean, I don't worry about that too much, to be honest. Because even in the earlier standards, that happens too, right? For someone who listens to jazz, if they hear Fly Me to the Moon, somewhere in the back they're going to hear Sinatra singing that. So it's not like we haven't undergone that sort of process before. But for sure, like the Bee Gees song, you know what I mean, with that voice is going to be there. And like, how is that going to kind of come up against my voice singing this with like Don and Reg? But it was exciting. There was something fun about it, as it is with most jazz standards. You know, that's the task of the artist, is to sort of have their authentic voice come through. So for me, that's sort of like, irregardless if that's 1920, a song nobody's ever heard before, or 1950, a song that most jazz listeners would know, or 1960, 70, 80. And then the other thing that I had fun with doing here was also throwing in some modern jazz standards that maybe a lot of people haven't heard in the jazz context. So that was like adding in like Fred Hirsch and Norma Winston's tune, which is a gorgeous tune. But that was sort of fast forwarding in the jazz standards. And, you know, and basically it kind of opens up a philosophical conversation, like what makes a jazz standard? What makes a standard? What makes a song that's going to last the test of time? And do we need to compartmentalize them at all into, is this popular or jazz, or, you know, because really most of those things that we call jazz standards now were at one time popular music.
That's right.
Just as these are. And at what point do we start to see songs from the 60s and 70s maybe fusing into that lineage of jazz of standards that can be interpreted as jazz standards? So
it's starting to happen more and more often when I listen to, let's say, the jazz station, Jazz FM.
Yeah.
There inevitably comes up, you know, someone, well, I think Diane Reeves covered Dreams by Stevie Nicks.
Yeah.
And there are different songs from that era coming up.
I think it's a natural evolution, just in time, right? It's just that we're kind of in that time where we're starting to go into the next era of music, and those songs are starting to become a little bit more of the past. And then how do we make them relevant again? Which is what we're doing with jazz standards anyway. So it's not terribly different. As I said, I think the main difference is a larger slice of the listening public might have a stronger tie to those songs because they're closer to them growing up and maybe hearing that, you know, over and over and over in their bedroom when they were 16 or 17.
Yeah.
And then they have strong memories associated with those. But that would have happened with those songs from the war period for a different generation. Those songs would have had a significant impact with what was happening during that time. And I think sometimes we forget that, you know, as younger artists tackling the Great American Songbook, that, you know, when you say, I'll be seeing you, it had had a real strong relevance, you know what I mean, to like what was happening at that time. So it didn't just mean I'll be seeing you in the cafe, you know. Yeah. It was like maybe that person's no longer there because something happened to them. And then I just, it's like you haunting me in all those places. So it gives a lot more depth of impact. So anyway, to me, like, it's that's just sort of the fun. It's just part of that treasure hunt of like what makes a good song, really what makes a good song, you know, no matter when it was written, no matter what genre it was intended for. Can if and a really good quality song, I think, It just bypasses all those sort of strictures and suddenly has a breath of its own. And of course, like as artists, that's part of our task, you know, is to be, you know, careful as we select that it's something that we can actually put ourselves into and be authentic with it. And this is whether I pick the song or someone picks it for me, I still have to say, you know what? Yeah, I think I can deliver that, or, you know, this is not a good, I feel like I'm wearing someone else's slippers today, and that's not going to work for me. So, yeah, same sort of approach, just different time period, I think, here. So,
I remember in some cases looking at your song list, it's like, well, yes, I grew up with that song in the 70s, but no, I didn't grow up with that song in the 60s. I don't have the same associations. Mm-hmm. And yet with both songs, I don't think they've been covered by, well, let's say Joni Mitchell has been covered by a lot of jazz artists, but let's say the Bee Gees, maybe not so much. So there is a fairly open territory where you can bring something that's kind of new and creative to it and maybe inform the song in a way that hasn't been done before.
Absolutely. And, you know, for me, again, this is something that if you look back through my albums, my catalog, it's not uncommon for you to find a song that everybody's going to know. But my challenge there is how to make that our own. Again, like if I'm doing Fly Me to the Moon and Sinatra's version is so, what's the right word? Like it looms large, you know, it's like a legacy recording. So if you take that on, there's a certain weight of the past that you bring forward and you have to do it justice, not just do it differently. It has to, you know what I mean? Like it's not just about doing it different. It's about really delivering because otherwise why bother? His version is there and it's so great. So that's one part. If you pick some like both sides now, Joni Mitchell, it's been done so often. She's done it herself so well. So like, is there something that I can bring to that that I feel does it justice in my own voice, you know? And then if you look back through my recordings, there's also those songs that I expect people to go, oh, you know, I don't think I've ever heard that before. And I like, and for sure, like, you know, Don will be like, I don't know that song. He knows so many songs, yeah. You know, and Reg knows probably even more, but he'll even be like, oh, you know, this is a new one for me. So I like that, not to shock people, but for me, it's interesting artistically, you know, it's for me, it's very interesting to find a song that to me is of equivalent quality, but has been sort of, for one reason or another, been overlooked a little bit. And maybe it's just that the artists that have come along haven't felt they could add an authentic story to that. You know what I mean? Whereas there's something when I'm listening to the words or the melody that I'm like, I can hear myself singing this and I can bring something to this. I know I can, you know? And so like Gordon Lightfoot's, you know, song we used for the title track here. But that one was sort of like that Pussy Willows and Cattails. I hadn't heard it, honestly, when I embarked on this recording, but when I heard it, I was like, oh no, I think I could do, you know, it has a really strong visual imagery and I could picture it, you know, like almost cinematically, I could picture it. And I don't, for some reason, I just was like, yes, I can hear the trio. I can hear, everything was sort of, it was almost like sonically there before we even recorded it. I could envision what it was going to sound like. And that one is one that I sort of felt most people would, unless they're a big Gordon Lightfoot fan, that's certainly not something I sort of heard on radio, you know what I mean, that often. So it's just add a little spice and, you know, change it up. And the spice could be from something people have never heard before, but it could also be something they know really well and be like, oh, you know, I've never pictured a Bee Gees version, a jazz version by a woman maybe too, you know, like, so there's that part too. If you're so used to hearing it in one gender and then suddenly it's in another one, it adds a little bit of interest. Mm-hmm.
Did you work collaboratively on the arrangements or how did you sort of evolve the arrangements on the recording?
Well, I mean, Dawn has a very heavy hand in the arrangement. So something like Close to You, which there is almost like a shearing sort of like approach with the, he plays the vibes on that. That's Dawn. I mean, you know, I'm not sort of dictating him how that goes. But having said that, we have a really organic approach, I think, which is most of the time he and I just try out this. I'll usually bring the songs in and I'll say, these are the ones I'm thinking of. We just try them out in a very rough way and we just sort of put them into our A, B, C pile. And the A ones are we come back to, you know, and be like, is this fitting together? I'll sit down and be like, do we have enough of this type of song, that type of song to make this these gel? And here we already had some. So I also had to fit in the holes, you know what I mean, what was already there. And then Dawn, I mean, he knows how I breathe. We've been playing together a long time now. I'm extremely blessed to have those two in my, you know, in my corner. But I mean, it's so, what's the right word I'm looking for? It's not something we need to talk about. You know what I mean? But that's not even just through time. I think it's gotten even deeper through time, but it was always there. I mean, if you go all the way back to yesterday, perhaps, we did the same way. I came in with some songs. We did one run through of, I think I had 20 songs picked for that session. We just ran through them in his basement. We did our A list, our B list. And by the way, most of those B list songs, we still came back to and recorded later. So I just knew how many songs we needed for that one session. Reg didn't know the songs, didn't hear the songs, anything before I met him in the studio. I'd heard him play, but we had never spoken. Dawn had written out some charts and we just went for it, you know. That was a 2-day session that we recorded that in, all the songs. And I think there were 18 that we recorded, 16 of which I believe we kept. Two takes for most of them. Run through was sort of, how does this feel? Does that arrangement, that tempo feel about right? And then, okay, we're going to do a good one. Sometimes we kept the first, sometimes we use the second. So when I say that it was very natural right off the top, I mean, Dawn listens, he watches you breathe. So he's really good at that. I think even with a new singer, you know what I mean, which I was at that time. But now, like, he really knows how I breathe. Like, he knows how I phrase. And to me, it's a very organic thing. I don't try to get fancy and, you know, he can anticipate, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can anticipate where I'm going to breathe. He knows where I'm going to breathe. And Reg also is just, he's a phenomenal accompanist. When you look at all of those recordings that we've done together now, this is our 11th album, with the exception of one, which had a bit more instrumentation. Reg has never received the music ahead of time. The music, the charts, the keys, the song list. So everything that you're hearing from Reg in particular is right off the floor in the moment. And that is just how good he is at listening, you know, and feeling and getting into the zone. You know what I mean? Like, it's really a remarkable gift that they both have. So do I play a part in the arrangements? Sometimes, you know, like, so the one Leonard Cohen one, Hey, That's No Way to Say Goodbye. That was my idea, to come in a cappella off the top. So there was some, or sometimes, like, I'll say to Dawn, I'm feeling this kind of vibe to it, or I'd like to do this in a bossa nova. But, like, really beyond that, I don't say too much. And he doesn't say too much. We just run through it. He'll do something and I'll sing. And we don't really, most of the time it feels pretty good. Like, we don't really switch it up too much. Like, sometimes I'll say maybe a little bit slower, or a little faster, but he really just knows. Like, he just knows where I feel comfortable now. And he always did. You know what I mean? Like, it was so easy right from the beginning that it felt like we had just been playing together for 100 years almost.
Amazing. Well, what you're saying about Reg is completely amazing. Like, to have just charts dropped in front of you like that and vocal keys. And
he's so relaxed, you know? Like, he's never uptight or anything, you know? He just sort of trusts the you know, process. So.
Yeah, and the two of them have just played together for so long.
They know how each other breathes, which is another piece of that. Yeah. You know, like they were already breathing together before I added my breath to the situation. You know, they had been playing together for quite some time before I, jumped in to the double dutch, you know, like skipping. So that helped, you know, for sure, I think, yeah.
So for listeners interested in perhaps purchasing your recording or listening to it online, or perhaps even attending a release concert at some point, do you have, can you sort of explain how they can listen to some of your music and eventually see you?
So my website, which is just www.diana with one N, Panton, PANTON.com, is where anyone can kind of reach out to email me directly. I do mail CDs out and sign them if people are interested in that. I have a limited supply, but I do have some at home. Beyond that, I'm available on almost every sort of digital platform now. So Spotify and Amazon Music, YouTube and all that sort of stuff. And it will be available as of 3 days from now on Amazon and the hard copies, you know, for people to order CDs. So that'll also be there.
Time this interview airs, it will be out. So
yes. To stay abreast of anything coming up for me, Facebook is usually where I post most. I'm not really Instagram or TikTok or anything like that, but Facebook I do use fairly regularly. Right now, I don't have any release plans for a show, but if something like that comes up, it'll be on my Facebook page or my website, yeah.
Diana, thanks so much for joining us today. The time has just flown by.
It does, doesn't it?
We hope you've enjoyed today's interview with vocalist Diana Panton. For more information on Diana and her music, please visit her website, www.dianapanton.com. I'm Barry Livingston. Thanks for listening to Speaking of Music. Harsh night.
sing. Soft lips and fingertips resting in my soul. Treasuring, remembering the promise of spring. Pussy willows, cattails, soft winds and roses. Secret heart, what are you made of? What are you so afraid of? Could it be three simple words, or the fear of being overheard? What's wrong? Let him in on your secret heart. Secret heart, why so mysterious? Why so sacred? Why so serious? Maybe you're just acting tough. Maybe you're just not strong enough. What's wrong? Let him in on your secret heart. The very secret you're trying to conceal is the very same one you're dying to reveal. Go tell. This loneliness, few can bear it. Could it have something to do with admitting that you just can't go through it alone? Let him in.
I'm David Suzuki, speaking on CFMU FM 93.3.
CFMU
Hamilton,
Hamilton,
Hamilton, Hamilton.
You're listening to CFMU 93.3 FM, McMaster Radio.
from Dave Cato and Ashley Goldsmith. Cuba Latifah, Baltimore, London boy, so I need to. I need to. Play the role, my globe theater. Round the world, I hear the fears of my friends, fam. Gonna lose the accent.